Y'all ready? Y'all ready?
Yeah.
Let's go. Come on.
Tiger Rag Radio is on the air.
Let's crank this thing up.
We're statewide, breaking down the latest happenings with LSU athletics.
This is us.
Hear from the coaches.
What's required and asked of you to represent our university.
The players.
Let's have fun and we working, baby. That's it, baby.
The recruits.
Show some passion and some heart.
And those who cover the Fighting Tigers of LSU and the SEC.
We're all in to finish what we've started.
It's 2 hours of nonstop LSU talk.
What a privilege. I mean, you get to represent LSU.
Tiger Rag Radio is brought to you by Cummins. Cummins creates power solutions that the world depends on. Louisiana Beef Industry Council. Boudreaux's Electrical Services. Sunshine Quality Solutions. Super Chevy Dealers. And Louisiana Farm Bureau Federation. Get ready to talk Tigers with producer Andre Champagne and our host, Todd Horn, Jeff Palermo, and Glenn Gilbo.
Two great players that are better people than they are players.
This is Tiger Rag Radio, live from Super Chevy Dealers Studio.
And good evening, everyone. Welcome to another edition of Tiger Rag Radio from the Super Chevy Dealers Studio. Jeff Palermo, News and Sports Director of Louisiana Radio Network, along with the Executive Editor for Tiger Rag Magazine, Todd Horn, and the Editor, Glenn Gilbo, Andre Champagne. Our producer tonight, also a reporter for Tiger Rag and the Louisiana Radio Network. Welcome to another edition of Tiger Rag Radio, Thanksgiving week edition. National Signing Day, a week from Wednesday, a new football coach possibly early next week. A lot to get to here over the next couple of hours. Coming up here in just a couple minutes, we're going to have Matt Moscona from ESPN Baton Rouge. He will join us. We'll also hear from Ross Dellinger later on in the hour about the LSU coaching search, or actually in the second hour later on in the show. And we'll also sprinkle some basketball talk in there as well. Matt McMahon will join us coming up at the top of the second hour. But Glenn and Todd, it's been a little bit of a quiet week compared to what we've been experiencing here the last couple of weeks, but maybe it's the calm before the storm. What do you guys, what are you thinking right now as LSU is getting ready for its final regular season game, and soon after that, a new head coach could be named?
I'm practicing mind reading. I'm polishing up on my mind reading, and I'm trying to channel Lane Kiffin's thought processes.
Okay, read my mind right now.
I got it.
Okay.
I don't think you want him to read. Do you, Glenn, do you really want Todd?
Todd just read my mind. Todd just read my mind, and it said, I'm not going to make deadline.
And I said, surprise, surprise, surprise.
There are no deadlines anymore with the website.
No comment. No comment, guys.
Listen, Luke. It's funny. I think people are – Todd's trying to read people's minds. What I find funny is everybody is trying to read something into what Lane says or how he turns his head or whatever. And, in fact, last week – Somebody tweeted out that Florida had canceled a volleyball game on this Saturday so that the arena would be open for the Lane Kiffin press conference. You know, as if they couldn't have the press conference somewhere else, or maybe they just didn't feel like playing volleyball that night. You know? But there's all this stuff you're starting to hear. But as I was told Friday by a really good source I've had for a few years, really going back to when Nick was the coach, that everything was looking good for Kiffin coming here. Everything was – it was all happening, as Kate Hudson said in that great movie. What's that movie I'm thinking of, Jeff?
I don't know.
Not Rockstar.
No, I'm not the movie.
It's all happening. It's all happening. And then a little bit after that, Dellinger came out with the great story about the contract. And the momentum is really not – shifted. So unless something changes, you know, it looks like it's LSU for Lane.
Let's bring in our first guest of the night. He is just fresh off of his show, Matt Moscona from ESPN Baton Rouge. It's a pleasure tonight here on Tiger Rag Radio. Really, the two guys that, along with the guys at Tiger Rag that have been all over this story and have pinpointed us really every step of the way since the firing of Brian Kelly. We'll have Ross Dellinger on later, but right now we got Matt Moscona of ESPN Baton Rouge. And Matt, thanks a lot for joining us tonight. And first question for you. How shocked would you be if Lane Kiffin is not the next head coach of LSU at this point?
Well, by the way, Jeff, I'm glad. It's a pleasure. That's wonderful to hear. Thank you. Well, I did watch Les Miles get carried off the field.
All right.
And then in the post-game press conference, Joe Oliva announced he's staying. I did watch LSU-Texas A&M where on the scroll during the game they're announcing Tom Herman has been hired as LSU's coach. And then 36 hours later, Ed Ogeron's at a podium. So on Friday I was tweeting about a plane and Oxford picking up a dog.
Right.
Nothing would surprise me. I mean, I think Lane Kiffin is going to be LSU's head football coach. Florida, as I was told today, has begun in earnest interviewing other candidates. I think they have sort of conceded. Ole Miss, it is so toxic. I don't see a path for him to return. I think Lane Kiffin is going to be LSU's coach. It's just a matter of when. And but if something went crazy and LSU ends up down a second, third, fourth option, that wouldn't surprise me. It's just that's coaching searches.
Matt, you had said on your show, I was listening earlier today, that Florida.
Oh, thanks, Glenn. Thanks for listening.
I listen regularly, man. And you had said that you know, Florida was beginning to move on, and you just quoted that from a source. So is that like a really good source told you that Florida's kind of almost conceding?
I wouldn't just throw something out there just because I think Florida late last week started to understand that Lane Kiffin in their pursuit was probably going to come up short, that he had picked LSU, which
Friday, you know, was that Friday you're thinking?
Thursday.
Okay. Right.
I think my best read on this, because a lot of Florida local media seems still very sure that Lane Kiffin is going to end up in Gainesville. I don't know if that's a consensus, but I've seen plenty of it. And my read on it is I think they're probably 10 to 14 days behind the news cycle, because 2 weeks ago, I don't mean that.
And they're on Eastern time. They're on Eastern time. That's amazing.
Two weeks ago, I would have told you that Lane Kiffin was going to be the next Florida coach. And I believe Lane Kiffin believed he was going to be the next Florida coach. And I believe that's exactly what was lining up to happen. And then LSU fired Brian Kelly and then Ernest began pursuing Lane Kiffin and gave him something to think about. And as the dominoes fell last week with his ex-wife visiting, them starting to put all of the pieces together of what a life in Baton Rouge would look like. I think Lane Kiffin was seeking the counsel of people he trusts it professionally. Nick Saban, Jimmy Sexton, Kirby Smart, they were all telling him their feeling is that LSU's a better job than Florida. I think that shifted. And then when you saw on Friday the statement from the athletic director, Keith Carter, which fell in line exactly with the timeline that I talked about all week, and subsequently the LSU board meeting and the numbers leaked to Ross Dellinger, that tells you the story. I mean, they've got the contract terms in place, and I believe Lane Kiffin has intimated that he's going to be in Baton Rouge, and they expect that. But it obviously can turn, as we've seen these things turn so many times over the years.
Matt, why do you think, I mean, in your opinion, I mean, this is mainly comparing notes here, but why do you think LSU is a better job for Lane Kiffin?
Than Florida or
Ole Miss?
Both.
Well, the Ole Miss piece of it is the pretty obvious one. It's because there's, perceived or otherwise, there's a lower ceiling in Oxford. The Mississippi schools are the lowest revenue schools, athletic departments in the SEC. It's a small state, not a populous state. There's two SEC teams in the state battling for recruits, and you get plucked by your neighbors as well. There's a reason they haven't won a championship there in 60 years. LSU and Florida just have more resources. The example I gave is, you know, when they played at Florida a couple of weeks ago, that 68,000 people had bought Hemingway. It was the largest crowd in the history of that stadium. On the same day, LSU was 5-4. LSU was playing 2-7 Arkansas at 11:45 in the morning and had more people in the stands than on the greatest day ever at Ole Miss. It's just a different resource. That's an easy one. LSU or Florida is probably more beauty in the eye of the beholder. And, you know, I think obviously LSU being the only Power Four team in a talent-rich state, as we all know, all of the resources that you have invested in the desire to be great, that doesn't always happen at Florida. I think LSU's facilities are better than Florida's. I think that's something that I think there's a much greater degree of give a darn among the fan base and the collective administration than perhaps at Florida. So, and you look at it historically, Florida's been good really in two periods. It's when they had Steve Spurrier and Urban Meyer, and those are two Hall of Fame coaches. Other than that, they've missed a ton and have really bottomed out. LSU won national championships with Les Miles and Ed Ogeron. I think Lane Kiffin looks at that and says that's the differentiator, right?
That's what Kelly said too.
It's true. It didn't work for him here, and I think we could talk about why it didn't work for him here. And I think, I mean, I have theories on that. You know, Brian Kelly was here during a very transformative period in the sport. You know, NIL, when he took the job, was just coming into its own, and it went to a full evolution of pay for play during his 4 years, and I don't think they appropriately adapted to it. They tried to throw money at the problem this year, and they missed too much. They missed on the offensive line. Nussmeier got hurt, all the stuff. But if you get the right guy that knows how to utilize those resources in this era, I think LSU's a great job.
Hey, Matt, can you stay with us through the next break?
Oh, we're not ready. We're not ready for that.
Okay, go ahead,
but,
Todd.
But can you stay with us through the break?
Sure.
Okay, I appreciate that.
Well, let's go ahead and take the break now.
Okay.
Let's
go ahead. All right, that'll make it easier on everybody, right?
Get it out of the way.
Thanks, Matt.
Yeah, we appreciate you holding on, Matt. Let's take the break, and we'll have more with Matt Moscona from ESPN Baton Rouge here on Tiger Rag Radio.
A sizzling T-bone steak, a mouth-watering char-grilled hamburger, a slow-smoked brisket. There are plenty of reasons to grill beef this fall. With 29 cuts of lean, protein-packed beef to choose from, there's always something succulent to serve to your family. So this weekend and throughout the fall, be the hero of your backyard barbecue by serving what everybody wants, the delicious taste of certified Louisiana beef. So remember, beef, it's what's for dinner. Brought to you by the Louisiana Cattle Producers through the Louisiana Beef Industry Council and the Beef Checkoff.
Every winner knows a great play starts with a solid game plan and the right team by your side. At Sunshine, we're here to keep your operation running strong. From tractors to harvesters, we've got the John Deere equipment you need to tackle every job with confidence. Because when the work's done right, there's more time for the things that matter, like cheering on your favorite team. Make Sunshine Quality Solutions part of your playbook this season and learn more about what it means to be powered by Sunshine at sunequip.com.
Cummins is known for their commitment to quality, performance, and products that are built to last. They make it their business to understand their customers' priorities and partner in their success. Cummins has the technical expertise and experience to deliver fast, high-quality repairs using genuine parts. And by calling 1-800-CUMMINS, you have access to one of the largest and most capable sales, service, and support organizations in the industry 24/7. For more information on Cummins products, service, or support, call 1-800-CUMMINS.
I'm Richard Fontenot, president of the Louisiana Farm Bureau Federation. My brother and I grow rice, soybeans, and raise crawfish on our farm in Evangeline Parish. For a fourth-generation farmer like myself, Louisiana Farm Bureau is as much a part of my life as checking traps or harvesting rice. Our organization is more than 145,000 members strong, and we've been around for more than 100 years. The Louisiana Farm Bureau spans generations, and we want you to join our family.
Visit LAFarmBureau.org, the Louisiana Farm Bureau Federation, the voice of Louisiana agriculture.
Tiger Rag Radio is back, live from Super Chevy Dealers Studio.
A few more minutes here with ESPN's Matt Moscona, ESPN Baton Rouge Matt Moscona. Of course, you can hear his show every Monday through Friday, 3 to 6, and of course he also is the host of the Locked On LSU podcast. Todd, go ahead, fire away your question to Matt.
Hey, so Matt, you've been fairly vocal, if not very vocal, about the fact that LSU has totally mishandled this Brian Kelly situation, and I don't think you'll find too many people who disagree with you on that. But my question is, in your opinion, has LSU somewhat stabilized that situation by simply having Virge Ausberry named as the permanent full-time athletic director, or do you think that's had any impact at all?
Well, I absolutely think it's had an impact. They, whenever you didn't have a university president, athletic director, or head coach, we're all sitting there at that press conference that Friday when Virge was announced as the interim. I don't know if I can ever remember being at a press conference where the president of the board of supervisors was running a press conference, but they didn't have anybody else. There was no leadership in the university. Right. So even when Virge was interim, the leadership tried to present a front as if that wasn't going to hurt them or wasn't hurting them in their search for a coach, but it was, mm-hmm. which is why they moved quickly to promote Virge to that full-time or permanent role, or however you want to phrase it. Because regardless of whatever you want to say publicly, I think they were finding it difficult, because anybody that, no matter what you do professionally, you want to know who your boss is, because you want to know what the expectations are, what type of resources you're going to have to do your job. And how can you go, if you're Virge Ausberry is an interim, how can you go attract a candidate and not be able to tell that person, you're going to be working for me?
Right.
I don't know who your boss is going to be. So, yes, I think it was hurting them, and promoting Virge did stabilize things. And it helps that Virge is respected in a lot of athletic administration circles.
Okay. I know we need to let you go. We appreciate your time, as always, coming on the show. It's really a pleasure for all of us. But we haven't heard anything about backup candidates if Kiffin goes sideways here. What's your thought on that, real quick?
Well, it's okay. So middle of last week, that's, I think, the number one question, and nobody at LSU ever seemed to want to answer it. But I think think about 4 years ago, when all of the emphasis seemed to be on Lincoln Riley, who ultimately picked Southern Cal, and LSU 24 hours later very quickly pivoted and introduced Brian Kelly.
Right.
So I think you want to have a 1A, 1B. I think late last week it seemed pretty clear to me that was Eli Drinkwitz. Going so far as to say that I think they were even talking terms of what a deal would look like. But this is my opinion, guys. I think the public reaction to that has been so visceral, mm-hmm. and so negative that I think they've moved off of that. And I don't know that they very clearly have a plan B. I would tell you that my understanding is it would be one of Eli Drinkwitz, Kenny Dillingham, John Sumrall, and then maybe like the safety net candidate would be Blake Baker, because I think they could sell a popular assistant to the fan base. It would make sense financially. And then you could also look around college football and say Marcus Freeman at Notre Dame, Ryan Day at Ohio State, Sharon Moore at Michigan, Kenny Dillingham at Oregon, Kirby Smart, Lincoln Riley, Brent Venables. These are all guys that were coordinators that got their first head coaching job at major college football programs. So it's not something that would be unprecedented. So I'm not saying that's their first option. I'm not saying that's where they're going to go. I'm just saying I think that is an option if they end up getting down the list, if they do, in fact, miss on Lane Kiffin.
Makes sense.
Matt, thanks a lot for your time. So when a plane leaves Oxford Sunday morning, there may or may not be a dog on that plane, right? Do we know?
Maybe it's Juice Kiffin who would be on the plane. But I think Monday would probably be the target, where if Lane Kiffin, I would anticipate the announcement from Ole Miss sometime Saturday, probably before LSU plays at 2:30. Yeah. I think that there would be an announcement Saturday. And if Lane Kiffin does, in fact, pick LSU, as I think he will, I think the expectation is that he would be in Baton Rouge on Monday.
Yeah. Wow. Amazing. Amazing. Hey, Matt, thanks a lot. Appreciate it. Happy Thanksgiving. And we'll keep listening. Thanks. We appreciate your input.
All right, guys. We'll see you.
Thanks, Matt.
All right, that is Matt Moscona of ESPN Baton Rouge, 104.5, 104.7. 94.9. Of course, this show is also simulcast statewide on many of these same affiliates, and you can also hear his take on LSU on a variety of different platforms, including Locked On LSU. But, Todd, you asked him the question about Virge Ausberry being the stabilizer in this situation, because LSU really tripped over, really not just LSU, but the state, with the comments that Governor Landry made. And it just looked, when you go back to that, I guess it was a Wednesday, if I'm right?
Yeah. Landry's Wednesday. Comments were on October 29th, and Woodward got fired on October 30th. And Landry was right. His comments were right.
Yes,
and he hasn't said anything since then. So
right.
I think that's exaggerated.
But there was a lot of people saying, "Well, what's the governor doing even talking about this? Isn't there other things that he should be involved in?" And blah blah blah.
That shows Kiffin how serious Louisiana is about football. Landry got Kiffin the job.
But what I was getting at is, as bad as that looked, and as much as the national media was piling on LSU, and then you have Wade Roos, who says Virge Ausberry is the AD. No, he's just the interim. Wait a minute. Yeah, he is the permanent. All of that. All the missteps that have occurred here. But it may all in the end work out, and they get the guy they wanted, which is pretty amazing when you think about it.
Yeah, I think the coaches don't pay as much attention to all that noise that you just listed as much as people do, and national media. And don't forget the ridiculous press conference with the two Board of Supervisors members.
Yes.
With Virge in the middle. And I remember just thanking God that Virge was picking the coach and not those two dudes. Because they had no idea what they were talking about, and they were not prepared.
And I think the root of my question, what I was thinking, and what Matt and everybody is basically substantiating, I think that no matter who you are in college football today, no matter where you're coaching today, that if Virge Ausberry wants to talk to you, you want to talk to Virge Ausberry.
And they know who he is.
Right. They know, and they know that he's a football guy.
And he's got credibility.
He's got strong credibility across the entire country.
And he's been involved in all these other surveys.
Right. And I think that you know, we haven't heard much about a backup, but I guarantee you, like Matt said, he's got a backup.
Yeah.
And what happened to Clark Lee? To me, that would be the best backup.
Well, he refused to sign his new deal today.
Clark Lee would be the guy, not Blake Baker. That would be a disaster.
Or Eli Drinkwitz.
No, it's not going to be Drinkwitz.
I would take Eli over Blake Baker, though.
Anyway, we have a lot to talk about.
We certainly do. We're actually guest free here for the next half hour, so we'll be getting into it.
We are our own guests. You're the guest, Jeff.
All right, so we'll hear from Glenn, Todd, Andre, myself. Stay tuned. More of Tiger Rag Radio here from the Super Chevy Dealer Studio.
When the power goes out, your life is disrupted. Heat, air conditioning, refrigeration, phones, all gone. Be prepared for the next outage with a Generac home standby generator. After sensing a power outage, a Generac generator automatically restores your home's power, whether you're home or away. Power your life with a Generac home standby generator.
Go online to BoudreausElectrical.com for information about Generac standby generators.
A sizzling T-bone steak, a mouth-watering char-grilled hamburger, a slow-smoked brisket. There are plenty of reasons to grill beef this fall. With 29 cuts of lean, protein-packed beef to choose from, there's always something succulent to serve to your family. So this weekend and throughout the fall, be the hero of your backyard barbecue by serving what everybody wants, the delicious taste of certified Louisiana beef. So remember, beef, it's what's for dinner. Brought to you by the Louisiana Cattle Producers through the Louisiana Beef Industry Council and the Beef Checkoff.
Cummins is known for their commitment to quality, performance, and products that are built to last. They make it their business to understand their customers' priorities and partner in their success. Cummins has the technical expertise and experience to deliver fast, high-quality repairs using genuine parts. And by calling 1-800-Cummins, you have access to one of the largest and most capable sales, service, and support organizations in the industry 24/7. For more information on Cummins products, service, or support, call 1-800-Cummins.
Every winner knows a great play starts with a solid game plan and the right team by your side. At Sunshine, we're here to keep your operation running strong. From tractors to harvesters, we've got the John Deere equipment you need to tackle every job with confidence. Because when the work's done right, there's more time for the things that matter, like cheering on your favorite team. Make Sunshine Quality Solutions part of your playbook this season and learn more about what it means to be powered by Sunshine at sunequip.com.
Tiger Rag Radio is back on the air, live from Super Chevy Dealers Studio.
Yeah, we're back from the Super Chevy Dealers Studio. Jeff Palermo, News and Sports Director of Louisiana Radio Network, along with Executive Editor Todd Horn and the Editor Glenn Gilbo, Andre Champagne with you. This is Tiger Rag Radio. By the way, our show now available on podcasts wherever you get your podcasts. So look for the Tiger Rag Radio podcast, and of course, also, you can find old shows, recently old shows, up on YouTube, on the Tiger Rag YouTube page. So plenty of different ways to catch us in case you are not able to get us on Tuesday night or whatever station you may be listening to us, because some of us, some of our affiliates around the state do not air us on Tuesday night. This show should at least hold up until Saturday. We just had Matt Moscona on, who said that a decision from Ole Miss on Lane Kiffin's future should happen sometime before the Oklahoma-LSU game, which, of course, is kicking off at 2:30. And, guys, what's your thoughts here on just this, the fact that Lane Kiffin is potentially going to lead Ole Miss to an 11-1 season, a college football playoff berth, a potential home game on the Oxford campus, but if Ole Miss beats Mississippi State on Friday, he will not be the coach in the postseason. What's your take on this really uncomfortable situation for Lane Kiffin and Ole Miss?
You asked a multi-symbolic complex question.
It's college football, Todd. There are no easy questions.
So the first thing is I wanted to ask you a question about the first part of your question. You said Ole Miss is deciding. I'm becoming more like Glenn, where I think it's actually Lane Kiffin deciding what's going to happen rather than Ole Miss. I think that's part of
the charade.
He has
all the leverage.
Yeah.
Over LSU in Florida, too.
But I'm going to diverge from that right now and sound like I'm contradicting myself, because...
Okay, Scott Woodward.
Yeah, exactly. So I think that Lane Kiffin, based on my mind-reading abilities, doesn't care about coaching in the playoffs. And I know Glenn disagrees with me completely, but I believe that this is already decided, and unless there's some weird change like, you know, we've referred to earlier in the show, I think that Lane Kiffin will be telling Ole Miss that he's coming. In fact, I think they already know that he's coming to LSU, and that he really doesn't care about coaching the playoffs. I think he would like to, but I think it's the lesser of two evils.
But what does that say to you about his competitive spirit? I mean, here's a guy
nothing.
That
– it says nothing about his competitive spirit. It's just like Nick Saban said on Saturday. It's because of the schedule.
The coaches came up with this stupid schedule.
The coaches didn't come up with the schedule. The NCAA people did. The college football playoff.
But they get that from recommendations from college coaches.
Yeah, but they don't listen to them. No, that's the unorganized college football playoff in the NCAA. None of the coaches like the portal windows. They finally got that down to one. The college football needs to look at the NFL and see how you plan a calendar.
Well, how do you plan it when you have semesters and quarters in some schools?
It's difficult. Get rid of the early signing period.
That would be the easiest thing to move the portal window
to May. That way, all the players have to stay for a season and spring. And then if they want to transfer, you can't have the luxury of getting to go to your new school for spring. All you get is the summer. That would be the best way to do it. That would clear up some of the coaches moving. Because in the NFL, you know, they have to wait for the team to be out of the playoffs before they can talk to them. And the guys don't switch jobs till after the season, and then free agency is later.
Well, but they don't even go try to poach or gouge other coaches from existing teams.
Well, sometimes they do, but you're right. For the most part, that's true. And you're also talking about much fewer teams than you would in college football.
But anyway, all that aside and the structure being what it is right now, I honestly believe that Lane Kiffin really doesn't concern himself with coaching in the playoffs.
I think he really does. Everything I've heard him say says that. And I really think he would like to coach the team through the playoffs, just like other coaches have gotten to do. But the playoffs have changed. You know, in the past, the coaches, it was only one game, one or two games after the regular season. It wasn't a whole tournament. So that just happenstance that happened to him. And, you know, Bo Pelini coached LSU's defense by day, recruited his new team and staff at Nebraska by night, got paid by both schools. LSU won the national championship, and then he became Nebraska's coach. And that would be really hard to do for a head coach, but I think it could be done.
But on the other side, Nick Saban did not allow Lane Kiffin to be the offensive coordinator when he took the job at Florida Atlantic.
That was different, though. That had nothing to do with Florida Atlantic. That had to do with Lane's attitude down those last couple of weeks. He was being a petulant child at that point, and Nick just made that call. It really had nothing to do with the next job. It was more Lane being immature, but that's a good point.
I think there may be a sentimental reason that, you know, he naturally wants to
coach
the team. But I think he's more in tune with the transactional nature of the sport right now, to where it's like that's the lesser of two evils.
Yeah. I mean, I think he understands that it would be a real strange situation for him to be coaching that team. But what's different is people are forgetting this. Somebody said, oh, Lane's disloyal. He's been at Ole Miss. This is his sixth season. You got players now. They're only at a school for about 6 or 7 months as a signee, and they're entering the portal. Mm-hmm. So they're not loyal either. And a lot of those guys, like let's say Lane coached them through the playoffs and everybody knew he was going to, and it was out there that he was going to LSU. Well, a lot of those players, they're going somewhere else new too.
So probably LSU.
Yeah. Or let's get together for one more game. It could be done though. Like I think if Ole Miss told Lane, look, you can go to LSU and you can coach our team through the playoffs, but we're asking you not to take any of the current Ole Miss players with you to LSU.
And I think he responds with a bargaining chip for the quarterback.
Well, but he could get another quarterback.
He's got to first get eligibility though, because he's not eligible next
year. But that would be a good trade-off. You know, okay, I get to coach this team, maybe win a national championship, but I promise I won't try to take any of the players, and I'll leave and I won't try to get any of the commitments away too.
Fantasy land.
It's
fantasy land.
It is fantasy land. I mean, that would make the most sense, but again, it's college football. It's not going to make sense.
So, who's LSU's number two choice if this is another Tom Herman situation?
Clark Lee.
I think it's Clark Lee too.
I think it should. I don't think it is, but I think it should be.
Yeah, no, I would agree. I'm a big fan of Clark Lee and what he's done, and I think it's more than just Diego Pavia there.
You think Clark Lee would hire Brian Kelly as an analyst? That could help with the buyout.
Yeah, I guess it could. It could.
Poor Brian Kelly.
More Lane Kiffin talk. Let's look into the future. If Lane Kiffin gets the job, since we won't be back on the airwaves until Tuesday, how big of a job is in front of Mr. Kiffin when he takes the job here? So the transactional Lane Kiffin. Is that what can we call him that, Todd? Can we call Lane transactional Kiffin?
I don't think he would have a problem with that.
All right. More of Tiger Rag Radio from the Super Chevy Dealer Studio right after this.
Live from Super Chevy Dealer Studio, we're back to Tiger Rag Radio.
Back here on Tiger Rag Radio from the Super Chevy Dealer Studio, Jeff Palermo, Todd Horn, Glenn Gilbo. Saturday's game against Western Kentucky was about as brutal of an offensive performance that you'll see from an LSU team. I mean, there's been games where I've seen LSU shut out. A Nick Saban team, I remember, got shut out against Alabama.
Those are good teams, though. This was the worst. This was the worst performance by an LSU team against a bad team, I think.
And,
you know, going back to when they lost to Troy, which was a 24-point underdog, Troy beat LSU and Ed Orgeron in 2018, I think that was, or 17.
But that was a turning point.
That was 17, yeah, 17.
Yeah, because then Danny Etling got it going, and then Joe Burrow, obviously in 18, but that loss.
That was embarrassing, man.
Yes, it was, and it was embarrassing on Saturday night. And so let's presume Lane Kiffin is the head coach, and I think he's got a pretty big job in front of him to try to repair this offense. And you got to basically rebuild the offensive line. You got to get some dynamic receivers in here. I still have faith that Caden Durham and Harlan Berry are good running backs if they had a chance to run behind a quality offensive line, but you're still going to still need to supplement that room. You got a tight end in Tre'Davious Green, but how many offenses are built around a tight end? And of course, you got to get a quarterback. And that now this is what this Lane is a play caller. He's known as a great play caller, and he's known as a guy that can develop quarterbacks. But the way I look at this thing, if it took basically 2 years for Blake Baker to rebuild this defense, it's going to take Lane Kiffin 2 years to rebuild this offense to get it to the point where it's what we're thinking. I understand it's the transfer portal era and he can bring in all these guys and all that kind of, but I think it is that bad offensively. It is going to take a lot of work to get it better.
So let me ask you a question. Do you believe that Austin Thomas is involved heavily in actually building and influencing the roster?
That is a very good question, because I think if he is, then you have to question whether he needs to be part of this new regime.
Yeah, I mean, obviously somebody whiffed, right?
Yes.
Okay. But
now I think the other part of his job, though, is been lining up these NIL donors. That's been a big part of his job.
Okay.
So that might mean that he's got to be there, because he's the one that's
He's already worked for Lane, hasn't he?
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if they left on good terms, because I don't think Lane was happy that he went to LSU. Now you can have a cup of coffee and maybe smooth that over. I don't know, but as I was watching it, I was thinking about Austin as well, because who picked these guys? who's been picking these players? Because
yeah,
it's just,
and you know, and Verge told us made a good point when he was with us a couple weeks ago. He mentioned how many of those guys were on losing teams mm-hmm. last year.
Yep,
I remember writing that in January and just getting crucified by people. But yeah, that's a good point. I would hope Lane and Austin could work that out, because Austin's a pretty good talent evaluator.
All right, so let's just do a quick checklist. These are the players that LSU has that I think, and I'm not going by position, I'm just listing players, so maybe you started it, but I'm going to repeat. I think they need to get Tamarcus Cooley back. He's got a year of eligibility remaining. I think they need, of course, DJ Pickett. I think that's one of the most important players they need to make sure they get back. Along the same lines with P.J. Woodland. I think, obviously, you mentioned Harlan Berry and Caden Anderson. Caden Durham, and I think they need to get Aaron Anderson back. He's got a year of eligibility left. I think they need to get Whit Weeks back. I don't think he'd have a problem playing with his father-in-law, and he hadn't had the type of year that I think he wanted to have. He was a preseason All-American, missed 5 games, basically, with an injury. So I think he will probably come back. If you know, it's the right situation. You mentioned Tre'Davious Green. I think they need to find out what the deal is with Colin Hurley, because Colin Hurley was a highly rated prep star, and even though he had the auto accident, and apparently it was a lot worse than we even thought at the time, where is he now? What's his situation? We don't know. we're not getting any answers.
Yeah, and I mean, and it's going to be interesting to see what Lane does with that, because I mean, the guy quit on the team.
Well, we don't know.
That's what it looks like on the surface.
That's what it looks like, but we don't.
And even if he did have a problem, you can still play, you know. So I don't know about that, but yeah, I think Lane's first thing he needs to do is, you know, if he's LSU's coach on Monday, he's got a signing date coming up, you know.
Yeah, so, within 8 days.
Yeah,
seven
so
days.
He and Frank Wilson need to huddle and get that class together and see if Lane can add to it. Maybe a quarterback that he's been recruiting who hasn't committed to Ole Miss yet. But then in the portal, which starts in January, he needs to get a quarterback.
They're going to need two quarterbacks in this. They're going to have to add multiple quarterbacks.
Please make them a dual threat quarterback that can run.
Wow, I can't imagine that he wouldn't be.
Was Jackson Dart a dual threat quarterback?
I would say he could move.
Yeah,
okay. Certainly run. Yeah, he could certainly run.
Okay,
so but
not really known as a dual threat quarterback.
No.
But he could run. Okay,
he could run, and he was more willing to run. Heck, yeah. I mean, that's one of the reasons.
So
why
not
he's
necessarily
got four concussions
a dual threat.
But it's the reason why he's got four concussions with the Giants is because he's been running.
Right.
All right, one more segment here in hour number one, and then Matt McMahon will join us to begin hour number two. You're listening to Tiger Rag Radio from the Super Chevy Dealer Studio.
A sizzling T-bone steak, a mouth-watering char-grilled hamburger, a slow-smoked brisket. There are plenty of reasons to grill beef this fall. With 29 cuts of lean, protein-packed beef to choose from, there's always something succulent to serve to your family. So this weekend and throughout the fall, be the hero of your backyard barbecue by serving what everybody wants, the delicious taste of certified Louisiana beef. So remember, beef, it's what's for dinner. Brought to you by the Louisiana Cattle Producers through the Louisiana Beef Industry Council and the Beef Checkoff.
Chevy trucks have you covered when the road takes you from smooth sailing to Chevy Colorado will eat up some of the toughest terrains with 5 available drive modes. And Silverado and Silverado HD have the muscle to take you out for some serious. With multiple engine options and impressive towing, while Silverado EV is the perfect combo of performance and capability.
Nice.
Making it a snap to hitch up this electric truck and hit the road. Wherever the road leads, Chevy trucks are right there with you. See your Super Chevy dealers today.
Every winner knows a great play starts with a solid game plan and the right team by your side. At Sunshine, we're here to keep your operation running strong. From tractors to harvesters, we've got the John Deere equipment you need to tackle every job with confidence. Because when the work's done right, there's more time for the things that matter, like cheering on your favorite team. Make Sunshine Quality Solutions part of your playbook this season and learn more about what it means to be powered by Sunshine at sunequip.com.
I'm Richard Fontenot, president of the Louisiana Farm Bureau Federation. While I'm a fourth-generation rice and soybean grower, you don't have to be a farmer to be a Louisiana Farm Bureau member. Membership has its benefits, from discounts on car seats, hotel rooms, and rental cars, to access to insurance you can count on to be there when you need, plus a whole lot more. We're 145,000 members strong, and we want you to join the Louisiana Farm Bureau family.
Visit LAFarmBureau.org, the Louisiana Farm Bureau Federation, the voice of Louisiana agriculture.
Now, back to Tiger Rag Radio, live from Super Chevy Dealers Studio.
Back here on Tiger Rag Radio, Jeff Palermo along with Glenn Gilbo, Todd Horn, Andre Champagne. Matt McMahon will join us in hour number two. We'll also hear a little bit of Jay Johnson. He spoke with the media on Monday as LSU wrapped up fall ball early. They're done. They're ready to – they could play a game tomorrow if they had to, I guess. They don't have to. They'll wait till February. But some interesting news coming out of LSU player interviews tonight, guys. Whit Weeks – apparently one of the players that spoke with the media and confirmed that he actually broke his ankle, the same ankle he injured in the bowl game against Baylor. He broke that ankle in Ole Miss, and so it's
– South Carolina.
No surgery.
I think it was
– what's that?
Didn't he
– well, this is what he said, so but, yeah, okay. You would have thought it would have been South Carolina. You're right. South Carolina was the last game.
That he played, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that was South Carolina, I believe, too. So maybe that was just a
– yeah, well, they said at the time that he re-injured his ankle the same ankle, but they didn't say he broke it. That's the new part of it, is that he actually broke it. So, they just said he injured it.
But what did he say? He said he broke it in the Ole Miss game.
Yeah, that's what he said.
Yeah, well, he broke it against Ole Miss. Same ankle he injured in the bowl game against Baylor. Total pain tolerance from here on out. No surgery needed. So,
sounds like they were hiding this a little bit.
There's a lot of weird injuries to that team. You know, Mansoor Delane, who's a finalist for the Thorpe Award.
Aaron Anderson's multiple injuries that he's had this year.
Garrett Nussmeier's injuries. I mean, this is a weird situation all the way around.
Well, you know, they get sued by someone where they didn't handle a particular player's injury very well.
Because if you think about it, Whit Weeks, he's draft eligible. So maybe they were trying to hide this to say, hey, if he goes and declares, they don't want that to
but I believe that's over with. He's coming back. Yeah, play for his father-in-law. Wants to play for his father-in-law.
Well, Andrew Kiffin, she did post that she was at Our Lady of the Lake tonight. I know she's been doing work.
Well,
and we should report,
you know, it's, you know, that you know, they've apparently bought a house in Baton Rouge, according to one message board that closed on Friday.
Who's bought a house?
Lane Kiffin.
Oh, I thought Landry and Witt bought a house.
Well, they may have, too. And also that Layla Kiffin has registered for a local Baton Rouge LA Fitness membership.
And then
these are the types of things that are going on.
It's true that Landry was at the Bengal Bells luncheon last Friday.
Right.
There were pictures of her. And
she was at the game as well. Yeah, she was not on the field though.
So what else went on at the player interviews today?
That's the only nugget that I've seen so far. Okay. I mean, what else is there to say, guys? Here's something interesting.
I want to know if they're going to be able to score this weekend. Is what I want.
I don't
to know.
Think they will.
Now this is it's, good. It, well, sorry to cut you off here, Jeff, but what's going to be interesting is down the line, Ross Dellinger reported tonight on his article that Florida officials have started to pursue other candidates.
Yes.
Well, that's what Matt Moscona said earlier.
Exactly. So, you know, that's definitely interesting to point out that we could probably
And there is apparently Missouri is having a board meeting tomorrow, the day before Thanksgiving.
Because that's Drinkwitz is supposed to be Florida's next option.
I don't know.
That's what I've heard.
God, LSU, they continue to beat Florida in head coaching searches. I mean, Kelly was not good, but he was better than Napier.
Well, Kelly could go to Florida if LSU would let him.
Yeah, LSU's really hurting Kelly's job candidacy. It has nothing to do with not making the playoffs in 4 years.
All right.
With Jaden Daniels at that.
Will LSU men's basketball make the NCAA tournament? Matt McMahon will join. I don't think he's going to give us that answer. But the Tigers are undefeated and headed into a Thanksgiving tournament with their first game on Friday. So we'll talk to Coach McMahon about that. And then we'll get back on the football talk. Ross Dellinger will join us in hour number two. So stay tuned for that here on Tiger Rag Radio.
Y'all ready? Y'all ready? Yeah. Let's go. Come on.
Tiger Rag Radio is on the air.
Let's crank this thing up.
We're statewide, breaking down the latest happenings with LSU athletics.
This is us.
Hear from the coaches.
You do what's required and asked of you to represent our university.
The players.
We're having fun and we're working, baby. That's it, man.
The recruits.
Show some passion and some heart.
And those who cover the Fighting Tigers of LSU and the SEC.
We're all in to finish what we've started.
It's 2 hours of nonstop LSU talk.
What a privilege. I mean, you get to represent LSU.
Tiger Rag Radio is brought to you by Cummins. Cummins creates power solutions that the world depends on. Louisiana Beef Industry Council. Boudreaux's Electrical Services. Sunshine Quality Solutions. Super Chevy Dealers. And Louisiana Farm Bureau Federation. Get ready to talk Tigers with producer Andre Champagne and our host, Todd Horn, Jeff Palermo, and Glenn Gilbo.
Three great players that are better people than they are players.
This is Tiger Rag Radio, live from Super Chevy Dealers Studio.
Hour number two of Tiger Rag Radio, Jeff Palermo along with Todd Horn, Glenn Gilbo, and Andre Champagne. We take a break from all the Lane Kiffin talk, and we talk a little LSU men's basketball. The Tigers will be in Niceville, Florida this week. They'll take on Drake on Friday night. That will be their first game. And then they'll play another game on Saturday. Coach Matt McMahon's team is off to a 5-0 start, coming off a 99-73 win over Omaha, and Coach Matt McMahon joins us here on Tiger Rag Radio. Coach, how you doing tonight?
Hey, doing great. Appreciate you having me on here this Thanksgiving week.
So after the game against Omaha where you scored 99 points, did Kim Mulkey send you a text saying, hey, if you're not scoring 100, you're not trying? Did you get that text message?
We can't keep up with Coach Mulkey. She's got 115 every night. It's amazing to watch them play, how easily they score that ball.
Hey, Coach, you aren't keeping up with her in terms of the points scored, but you're scoring an amazing amount of points. I mean, that's 98 points, more than 98 points a game you're averaging through five games, and your shooting percentage is like out of this world.
Well, I like the unselfishness that we're playing with, Todd. I think, you know, we're getting high quality shots. You know, it always starts with your point guard. When your point guard has 38 assists and only six turnovers, it means the offense is probably running pretty well. And, I think a big key to the 99 points a game has been our ability to get to the free throw line. We've gotten there. I think we're plus 67 in the five games and points scored from the free throw line.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you have when you put it all together as we did Friday night, now we're not going to go 15 to 33 from three every night, but when you're shooting it at that level, with DJ at the point and then the physicality of your inside game, that's when we can be at our very best offensively.
You know, I've had two different people tell me that in these first five games that they've watched, you know, your guys play, that they look like a solid SEC team just because of the physical nature and the way they're playing the game. Do you feel that way?
Yes. I mean, that's how we – I know you and I talked about it a lot in the offseason. That's how we intentionally built – we had the opportunity to go out and build an SEC team. And, you know, as you know, this is the most physical league in the country, the most athletic league in the country. So that starts with your front court. When you look at Nwoko at 6'10", 260, and then, you know, obviously thrilled to get Jalen Reed back early, and he's off to a great start, especially considering he missed 11 months, but you know, he's 6'10", 250, and then Rob Miller with a 7'5 wingspan at almost 6'11", and then, you know, the guy's kind of been unsung for us in the front court's been the energy and activity level of Pablo Tamba, and he's leading us in offensive rebounding. He had 13 rebounds on Friday night, just does a lot of the dirty work for us there in the front court.
Hey, man, I am just so impressed with so many aspects of this team. Markel Sutton is so versatile. Outside shooter, he can get in there and mix it up and get rebounds. Deedon Thomas Jr., your point guard, has been phenomenal. And I really like Max McKinnon on the wing there. And then, you're playing really well, and you don't even need to start Jalen Reed. Nwoko doesn't miss a shot. Is Jalen not starting because you're kind of bringing him back slowly, or is it that just the rotation you're in right now?
Yeah, combination of all of that. I think as we talked in the offseason, the plan was for Jalen to get back in mid-December. And so he was way ahead of schedule, was on a minutes restriction early in our exhibition game and then the first couple of weeks of the season. So it's just kind of the way it's played out. But, you know, I agree with you 100% on those guys you listed. You know, a big key for us has been Markel's versatility to be able to move him to the wing at 6'9", 230 pounds as a guy who's shooting it so well from three and then getting almost 10 rebounds a game. Obviously, DJ, you have 17 assists, zero turnovers in the last two games. And then when Max can shoot it like that for us, as he did on Friday, you know, he's a legit 6'6 at the two-guard position and a really smart player. So I think overall, Glenn, the biggest key has just been the balance. And then there is some depth in key positions. As you mentioned, anytime you're bringing a guy like Jalen Reed off the bench, It means you got some good players on the floor.
Coach, you're 5-0, and as we talked about, you've been really blowing people out. But now something's going to happen this weekend. You're going to be on the road for the first time, and you're going to be on the road for the next five games, really. Well, four for sure, and then the fifth one's in New Orleans, so that's somewhat of a road game. But also the schedule, Sonic, gets a little more difficult. And
right.
So what are you looking for this weekend, and what are you looking for as you go into the games with Boston College and Texas Tech on the road and then SMU in New Orleans?
Well, I think everything you just said there, Todd, obviously business is about to pick up for us. I think a couple things that were done with intentionality. Number one was the exhibition game on the road at Central Florida. We wanted to have that experience because we knew we were going to have this four-week stretch where we don't play in the PMAC. And I think that was really beneficial for us on and off the court as a team. And then the early season schedule was built under the premise we would not have Jalen Reed. So to be able to work him in and get him rolling was a huge advantage. I think it also enabled us to really build our team chemistry. And then the final piece of it, which was really important, because they do give you a starting point in the computer rankings, we really needed to raise our computer ranking profile, and we were able to do that by about 25 places because of our efficiencies offensively and defensively. So now as the schedule gets, obviously much more difficult, I think for us defensively, I love our field goal percentage defensive numbers. 38% our opponents are shooting. But two areas, we haven't turned our opponents over very much, only 10 a game. And we've given up 12 offensive rebounds a game. We need to get better in those two areas so we can cut down on our opponent's possessions. I think that's really the biggest key for us. And then the rest of it, we're all going to find out together, Todd.
Right.
That was how does some of the things that have been really good for us through five games, how do those things translate, as we go to some of these Power Five games that are coming up in the next couple weeks.
Well, switching subjects really quick, and I know Glenn's got another question for you, but
sure.
You mentioned D-Dan's assist to turnover ratio, but the team overall has a 1.5 assist to turnover ratio right now, which is really good for a team. So he's not the only one making passes and turning them into buckets.
No, I agree. I really like it. I think it's one of the underestimated or undervalued portions of Max McKinnon's game. He's been a 4+ assist a game type guy throughout his career, and he's 15 assists, only 9 turnovers. And Jalen Reese is getting better as our backup point guard. He's over a 2-1 assist to turnover ratio. So, offensively, Todd, we want to play assisted basketball. We want to create good shots for each other. And I think we've done that pretty effectively. And then defensively, we want the opponent to have to play unassisted basketball, a lot of one-on-one. And right now we're 7th in the country and fewest assists allowed. And so we want to continue down that path on as it relates to valuing the ball and sharing it offensively and also, preventing easy shots on our defensive end.
7th in the country and fewest assists allowed. That's a pretty good stat. Matt, let me ask you: how quickly did the LSU players adapt to the fact that you got to be ready for a pass as soon as Deedon passed half court line? Man, John Brady has said that a few times during the game broadcast. I mean, he on defense against him, they better be ready.
Well, I think Coach Brady hits the nail on the head there. I mean, if I were a guard, which I was back in my day, as soon as we got the ball, I'd be sprinting down that wing as fast as I could because he's going to pitch it ahead to you for open threes. You saw that a lot on Friday night. If you have the size and athleticism of a Mike Nwoko, I'm going to go ball screen and I'm going to roll as hard as I can because I know he's going to throw those lobs to me. It's just, it's a fun way to play the game. And I do think DJ's also a really capable scorer. I think that plays averaged 16 a game at UNLV last year. So I think that's what makes him so difficult to guard, as he can score it himself, but he loves creating for others.
Yeah,
really unselfish.
Right. You said that to us before the season, that you had to kind of tell him to shoot more. And I think your last game, I think he had like 12 in the first half, and he barely, I don't think he scored much in the second half, because he's the true point guard, isn't he?
He is. He had 15 points, to your point. He had 15 points with 25 minutes left in the game. I don't think he took another shot. He went to the free throw line one time, but other than that, he just kept getting his teammates involved and getting them open looks. So I know I'd love to play with a guy like that. He makes the game easier for you.
So, Matt, when you look at the upcoming schedule, what is the scouting report on Drake, and what is Georgia Tech and DePaul? What are they looking like?
Yeah, Todd, Drake is coming off a 31-win season, and then had a coaching change. So, like, you know, every program in the country now, a lot of new faces from the portal. They're putting it all together. They just had their best game of the year. They won by double figures on the road against a really good Charleston team. I think the big key to that was they had a season high. They made 11 threes. They have two wings that have made 25 threes between them at 50%. So defending that three-point line will be critical for us on Friday night. They also have a really good point guard who transferred over from Loyola Chicago, who's leading them in scoring at 15 a game. And then their two bigs are both in double figures. 6'9", transfer from South Carolina, and then a 6'6", just bruising four-man, who is also a fourth-year transfer. So I think defending the three-point line, they don't make many mistakes. They're like us. They're dominating their opponents from the free-throw line, so I think that'll be a key stat. And then, you know, can we get the pace of the game to our liking? DePaul, Georgia Tech, I just given a little sneak peek there. You know, Georgia Tech has, you know, two NBA front court players on the roster, so great size there. And then DePaul, you know, I think a much improved team from a year ago. So it'll be two great opportunities for us, and hopefully we can keep building on the momentum of the start. And obviously, we know we got a lot of getting better to do as well.
Mm-hmm. Sounds good, Coach.
Happy Thanksgiving, Coach. We appreciate it. We got to run here as we are up against the break. But have a great week, and hopefully when you guys are through this weekend, you're 7-0. We appreciate your time.
All right. Thanks. Come on. Happy Thanksgiving. And eat well.
All right. More of Tiger Rag Radio when we come back here from the Super Chevy Dealer Studio.
Chevy trucks have you covered when the road takes you from smooth sailing to Chevy Colorado will eat up some of the toughest terrains with 5 available drive modes. And Silverado and Silverado HD have the muscle to take you out for some serious with multiple engine options and impressive towing. While Silverado EV is the perfect combo of performance and capability,
nice,
making it a snap to hitch up this electric truck and hit the road. Wherever the road leads, Chevy trucks are right there with you. See your Super Chevy dealers today.
Cummins is known for their commitment to quality, performance, and products that are built to last. They make it their business to understand their customers' priorities and partner in their success. Cummins has the technical expertise and experience to deliver fast, high-quality repairs using genuine parts. And by calling 1-800-Cummins, you have access to one of the largest and most capable sales, service, and support organizations in the industry 24/7. For more information on Cummins products, service, or support, call 1-800-Cummins.
When the power goes out, your life is disrupted. Heat, air conditioning, refrigeration, phones, all gone. Be prepared for the next outage with a Generac Home Standby Generator. After sensing a power outage, a Generac generator automatically restores your home's power, whether you're home or away. Power your life with a Generac Home Standby Generator.
Go online to BoudreausElectrical.com for information about Generac Standby Generators.
a sizzling T-bone steak, a mouth-watering char-grilled hamburger, a slow-smoked brisket. There are plenty of reasons to grill beef this fall. With 29 cuts of lean, protein-packed beef to choose from, there's always something succulent to serve to your family. So this weekend and throughout the fall, be the hero of your backyard barbecue by serving what everybody wants, the delicious taste of certified Louisiana beef. So remember, beef, it's what's for dinner. Brought to you by the Louisiana Cattle Producers through the Louisiana Beef Industry Council and the Beef Checkoff.
How you doing? This is Snoop Dogg.
Tiger Rag. Tiger Rag Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, you are tuned in.
Talk LSU sports, interviews, opinions, and your calls around the Tiger Nation.
Baton Rouge was a life for me, home of the LSU Tigers.
Now more Tiger Rag Radio.
Hey, we love to score and get highlights and championships and play to win.
Tiger Rag Radio.
Back here on Tiger Rag Radio from the Super Chevy Dealer Studio, along with Todd Horn and Glenn Gilbo. Ross Dellinger will join us coming up in the next segment from Yahoo Sports. Look forward to getting his thoughts on where we're at with the coaching search. Do have to give a shout-out of congratulations here to Mansoor Delane being a finalist for the Jim Thorpe Award for a lost season here for LSU. Pretty impressive that this kid has emerged as one of the top defensive players in the country, a potential number one pick. You know, we were not a number one overall pick, but a first round pick, I should say, potentially. You know, we were talking about a lot of the misses in the transfer portal, but that's one they certainly got right. And he's made a big difference in that defensive secondary.
And he's been injured since fall camp. We found out last week, you know, abdominal tear, abdominal injury. And he's been managing his pain every game just so that he could play. And he's been targeted like only like 34 times or something this entire season.
He's only given up 147 reception yards.
Yeah, that's insane.
13 total catches or 11 total catches, something like that.
I think 13. I think
now, he doesn't have to throw passes with an abdominal
tear.
That's
true.
But still difficult to play. And, you know, he's a cover corner, so he, you know, they don't have to make as many tackles as the others. But, I mean, obviously,
well, actually,
he's in on tackles.
He was such an effective cover corner.
That
even
they didn't
with
throw
it,
at him.
That
yeah.
they didn't throw at him.
Right,
so.
Right. So he had to have contact. Yeah, he's been a heck of a player. I would say he's likely to be the only first-round pick off of this team this draft, would you say?
Yes, I would think so. I don't think Harold Perkins is a first round pick.
I think that if you have a plan for Harold Perkins, he is a first round pick. I think that depends on where he would fall in the draft. I think that there's like the Dallas Cowboys, for instance.
Yeah,
I think Nussmeier will still be a first round pick.
I don't.
Mm. Well, this is what I was going to say about
Nussmeier. Based on now. I think based on his workouts and Senior Bowl.
Well,
I'm sorry,
yeah.
Jeff. Go ahead.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. What if Nussmeier does get over this abdominal strain in time for the Senior Bowl, really plays well in the Senior Bowl, plays or does whatever in the combine and all that? I don't know if he can make it all the way back up to a first-round pick. We'll see. But he certainly it's just amazing how night and day it was from 2025 to 2024.
One good thing I think he does have in his favor, which is not related to his season this year, but it's like the worst quarterback class in the last 5 years or five seasons or something like that is what a lot of the NFL scouts are saying. So there's not too many teams that are going to want to draft a quarterback number one in this draft pick as we head into the combine and something like that. So if he does have a good combine and he's impressive and somebody needs a quarterback like the Saints, you know, or something like that. But I really hope he doesn't get drafted by the Saints.
I always hope that players don't get drafted by the Saints.
Yeah. Not with this current regime in place, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Is Michael Van Buren salvageable?
I think Michael Van Buren has the tools to be a starting quarterback, and I think I said this on a recent show, but I'm not sure that he has the tools to be the starting quarterback for LSU next season, certainly not under Lane Kiffin.
Yeah, I don't think he's I don't think he's an SEC regular starting quarterback either, unless you're on the lower tier. But you know, it's still early with him. He's shown some flashes. He could get better. He's got some potential. But I think you're gonna see Lane bring in probably two or three quarterbacks going into next season.
I'm not joking. If he can get, he's trying to get Trinidad Chambliss, his quarterback right now, an extra year of eligibility. He talked about it last week in his press conference. And if they are successful in doing that, I would not be surprised if he comes here.
Well, he's a quarterback coach and a play caller, and LSU has never had one of those as a head coach.
Ole Miss, by the way, number 7 in the college football playoff rankings, and they would, based on the 12-team bracket right now, they would host Alabama in the college football playoffs. That certainly would be, Glenn, the biggest sporting event ever in the state of Mississippi if that does happen.
And Lane would so badly want to coach that game because he has never beaten Alabama. I would let him do it.
Yeah, well, the top 4, by the way, Ohio State, Indiana, Texas A&M, Georgia. Also, Oregon leapfrogs Ole Miss. Oregon gets the win over USC. Let's see, number 8 and 9. It's Oklahoma's 8, Notre Dame's 9, Alabama's 10, and Miami's 11. Tulane is 12.
Wow.
How about that?
You know what's going to happen? You know what's going to happen? You know what's going to happen? Auburn's going to beat Alabama in the Iron Bowl.
You've been saying that all
they're
going to
fire Kalen DeBoer, and they're going to hire Lane Kiffin away from LSU.
Auburn will not beat Alabama.
How about if Mississippi State beats Ole Miss, LSU beats Oklahoma, and Auburn beats Alabama?
Fantasy.
Ole Miss fantasy.
The only way that LSU is going to score enough points to beat Oklahoma is if Barry and Brown returns 2 or 3 kickoffs for touchdowns.
You know, if Brian Kelly has not been fired yet by LSU as they try to decide what's going on there, I wonder if you can give him the losses the last few games. You know, they gave Coach K the wins when he got sick, you know, when he wasn't coaching. Maybe they can give BK those losses.
Maybe so. You're good point, Glenn. All right, Ross Dellinger from Yahoo Sports joins us when we come back here on Tiger Rag Radio.
Every winner knows a great play starts with a solid game plan and the right team by your side. At Sunshine, we're here to keep your operation running strong. From tractors to harvesters, we've got the John Deere equipment you need to tackle every job with confidence. Because when the work's done right, there's more time for the things that matter, like cheering on your favorite team. Make Sunshine Quality Solutions part of your playbook this season and learn more about what it means to be powered by Sunshine at sunequip.com.
Cummins is known for their commitment to quality, performance, and products that are built to last. They make it their business to understand their customers' priorities and partner in their success. Cummins has the technical expertise and experience to deliver fast, high-quality repairs using genuine parts. And by calling 1-800-Cummins, you have access to one of the largest and most capable sales, service, and support organizations in the industry 24/7. For more information on Cummins products, service, or support, call 1-800-Cummins.
I'm Richard Fontenot, president of the Louisiana Farm Bureau Federation. For more than 100 years, Louisiana Farm Bureau has been the voice of Louisiana agriculture. Louisiana Farm Bureau advocates on behalf of all the farmers and ranchers across our great state. What that really means is we advocate for you to ensure we have the safest, most abundant, and affordable food supply in the world. Louisiana Farm Bureau is 145,000 members strong, and we want you to join the Louisiana Farm Bureau family.
Visit lafarmbureau.org, the Louisiana Farm Bureau Federation, the voice of Louisiana agriculture.
Chevy trucks have you covered when the road takes you from smooth sailing to... Chevy Colorado will eat up some of the toughest terrains with 5 available drive modes. And Silverado and Silverado HD have the muscle to take you out for some serious... With multiple engine options and impressive towing. While Silverado EV is the perfect combo of performance and capability.
Nice.
Making it a snap to hitch up this electric truck and hit the road. Wherever the road leads, Chevy trucks are right there with you. See your super Chevy dealers today.
Back to Tiger Rag Radio, live from Super Chevy Dealer Studio.
We are back here on Tiger Rag Radio. Jeff Palermo along with Glenn Gobel and Todd Horn. And let's bring in our next guest from Yahoo Sports, former writer for The Advocate, and is one of the more the bigger insiders, if you would, when it comes to college football news. Had a great story on Friday breaking down some of the contract details of what LSU is preparing to offer Coach Lane Kiffin if he decides to leave Ole Miss for LSU. And, Ross, we bring you on the show now. How you doing tonight?
Good. How are y'all doing?
Oh, we're doing well. We are doing very well. Still feeling like, or is still seeing, based on everybody that you talk to, all your sources, it's still looking like Lane to LSU. That seems to be the track we're going here.
It seems like it. I think I was just putting out a story tonight about sort of an update on the carousel from the national perspective. It feels like, Florida has sort of shifted their attention to other candidates, which is usually a sign. And Ole Miss has sort of began the early, phases of searching for a potential replacement, and LSU's been fairly quiet, and everybody's been fairly confident down in Baton Rouge. So all the signals would lead you to believe that they seem to be the favorite right now. But as I tell people often, you never, all this stuff is so unpredictable, and things can change at the 11th hour, especially when you're dealing with someone like Lane Kiffin.
So, Ross, what do you think it is about Lane Kiffin? I mean, we got a lot of time with you, and so let's just break this down, do a psychological analysis on Lane Kiffin. Why is he always chasing? Hadn't he calmed down? What's going on?
He's been there six years.
Yeah, he has. He's been there 6 years, 2 years in, or 3 years in. He had an offer to leave for Auburn. He did not take it, mostly because of his family, and his situation with his family. You know, Lane has found, and I was just there 2 weeks ago sitting down with him in his office. It's clear Lane has found happiness in Oxford. He's found health. He quit drinking about 5 years ago. He works out every morning. He's back with his kids. Two of the three kids are now living in Oxford. One goes to Ole Miss. Another one's a junior or a sophomore in high school. His ex-wife is even back. They're sort of raising the kids. He said he wakes up every morning and he is happy to be there. But I think there's this other thing pulling at Lane, which is there are these blue blood championship type programs that he grew up dreaming that he would be coaching for. And as he said it to me when I was in there, Ole Miss necessarily wasn't the final chapter or what he envisioned to be the final chapter of his coaching career. And he sounded like a person that was torn of leaving a place that perhaps in this new era of college football can build a championship team. He seems like he has one. They're 10-1, ranked number 6-7 in the country. Versus going to somewhere that a historic blue blood type of powerhouse that has won championships and proven that you can win championships in the recent past. And it sounds like, sort of an internal struggle he was having when I visited, and maybe he's still having today. But I can tell you this, if Florida is acting, like I mentioned earlier, Florida's sort of acting like, they've sort of moved on and they're at least going down the road with some other candidates, which tells me that this may be a Ole Miss versus LSU sort of decision. And if that's the case, right now in Oxford is what I would call not the greatest situation. Lane has the decisions that he's made with his family visiting Baton Rouge and Gainesville, the constant tweeting up until this week when clearly he was told or encouraged not to tweet anymore, and he has stopped. But in general, there's just a lot of toxicity there. And for him to return and sign the extension under pressure that he won't be able to coach the playoff if he doesn't, you know, sign the extension, would still, to me, be a surprise given the nature of everything that's happened over the last couple of weeks and how people feel there right now.
Hey, Ross, thanks for joining us tonight, Hoss. Let me ask you.
Ross or Hoss?
Ross, who I call Hoss. Does Lane think that has he tried in the past to convince Ole Miss, or is he doing it now to let him coach in the playoffs? Does he think that that's a possibility that he could coach in the playoffs and still leave, or does he realize that that probably won't happen?
I'm thinking that at this point, Glenn, that he realizes that's not going to happen. He probably would like it to happen. I'm just assuming that part. But it's pretty clear that Ole Miss administration has made the decision, and I wrote a little about that on Yahoo Sports tonight and kind of my carousel, coaching carousel reset, is that they've made the decision that he's not coaching the playoff unless he commits to them. And I think they wanted that commitment last week. They didn't get it. And so they sort of granted him another week, you know, to finish out the regular season and then to make the decision on Saturday. And what's funny about that statement that Keith Carter, the athletic director at Ole Miss, put out after him and Lane and the chancellor met, and it should be noted that the chancellor of the university was in that meeting with Lane Kiffin, and that is not an insignificant detail. Mm-hmm. And after they put out that statement after the meeting that basically said there would be an announcement Saturday. And to me, I think that was a very public deadline that Keith Carter put on Lane Kiffin of Saturday. And if Lane Kiffin on Saturday or by Saturday does not make a decision or either to leave, to tell them that he's leaving after the season, regular season, or to sign the extension. If he doesn't make a decision, I am convinced that they will make the decision for him.
So are you saying they will fire him at that point?
No, unlikely. And part of that is obviously he would be owed a huge buyout, and you're firing a coach who's 11-1 or 10-2.
What is that buyout, Ross?
They could always rescind it later.
Yeah, his buyout is, you know, I think it's 40-plus million, 35 million, somewhere around there, I believe.
But what's his buyout if he were to leave to come to LSU? What would LSU be on the hook
very,
for?
Very little, very little. Like, I can't remember that. It's insignificant, right? Which by today's standards, it's insignificant. 2 or 3 million, maybe.
Yeah, I read four.
Yeah, maybe. I think it goes. I want to say I get all the buyouts to leave confused, but there's dates where it goes up, and I think it goes from 3 to 4 million or something like that. So it's around there, right? It's less than five, and right. So it's fairly insignificant. But they would not fire him. I do not expect that. They probably would put him on leave, or there would be some suspension, probably wow. Based on his actions. That's sort of the expectation, I think, if he doesn't make a decision. But of course, like, it would surprise me if it would get to that, right? Because if they make that decision, that would push him out the door. He would just leave.
Ross, have you ever heard of a head coach? Obviously, it would have been in a different playoff format, of a head coach who stayed on and coached a team through the national championship game, knowing and everybody knowing that he would leave. I know of assistant coaches that's happened to, like Bo Pelini and Mark Richt before he went to Georgia. But of a sitting head coach, you know, has that ever happened?
You know, we were had some friends and I and bosses were kind of talking a little bit about that, and there's one of them that comes to mind. It's not football. It's
Michigan.
It's basketball, yeah. And it's, I think it was Michigan State or no Michigan.
Michigan.
Back in the
Bill Frieder.
Yeah, back a while ago. Yeah, yeah. So there's that example where Bo Schembechler just, you know, fired him before the, because Bo Schembechler, I think at that time, was the AD, right?
Yes, he was.
Right.
He fired him. And so there's that example. But, like, in college football, and especially any time in the, like, you know, modern history of the game, the last, you know, 30 to 50 years, I don't know of one. And I can tell you, I can promise you, that is not going to happen. They have made that decision. There is no way that the new LSU football coach is going to be coaching Ole Miss in the playoffs.
Ross, do you believe that, this is Andre, do you believe that maybe that itself, as well as maybe the, I guess, the donor from the Ole Miss side reaction from him kind of entertaining the deals, do you think that's hurting Ole Miss as well?
I think I mentioned it earlier, like, you know, toxic is probably too strong of a word to describe what's going on there, but it's not far off. I mean, it's there are people there, whether it's staff members, players, and certainly administrators, donors, very big donors, that are not real happy about how things have been handled by Lane. And so I think all of this sort of messiness, whether it's the tweeting or the family visiting and him not telling Ole Miss about that, and them finding out in other ways, I think all of that is sort of impacting all the decisions there and may impact the team. I mean, they have to go down, and they're going to play a very improved Mississippi State team at their place with all this distraction. And it's been made fairly clear to me, too, that, you know, if he loses, if they lose the Egg Bowl, I think there's a lot of people that will point the finger at Lane Kiffin. And, man, it'd be really hard to see him returning to the school if that happens.
Well, just to support what you just said, I know for a fact that there's a large Ole Miss donor that does business in the state of Louisiana that is very unhappy with the entire situation, and he's basically done with it.
Well, you know, that's kind of funny to me, because Lane Kiffin's the best coach Ole Miss has ever had since Johnny Vaught, and they wouldn't be anywhere near where they are without him. So I think they should temper their anger somewhat if that anger is toward Lane Kiffin.
No hope for that, Glenn.
Right. The holiday season's right around the corner, but
Do you want Matt Luke? Matt Luke never brought up this problem. He didn't get a job offer.
Wow, Ross, happy Thanksgiving. Appreciate it. Look forward to more of your reporting on this and the other coaching vacancies. We appreciate your time tonight.
All right, guys. See you.
Thanks, Ross.
Ross Dellinger of Yahoo Sports. Let's take a break. Let's hear a little from Jay Johnson when we come back here on Tiger Rag Radio.
And we're back with Tiger Rag Radio, live from Super Chevy Dealers Studio.
Back here on Tiger Rag Radio from the Super Chevy Dealers Studio, Jeff, Todd, Glenn, and Andre Champagne, who has some audio from Jay Johnson, who spoke on Monday as LSU has wrapped up fall ball. We have very little time here, so let's get right to him. Andre, what do you got cooked up for us here as far as some of the things that Jay Johnson had to say to the media on Monday?
So Jay, first off, he said it's not like him to do this, but he's actually cut fall ball pretty early than he normally does, just because he's seen enough from his roster so far and the work that they've put in. So that'll be the first thing coming up here.
I did something a little abnormal for me, to be honest with you. I felt like we got to a good place to stop with this team, and we actually could have played this last week, and I decided not to play because I felt like the right amount of hay was in the barn, and not that it would have been counterproductive, but I didn't see the productivity in playing a Purple and Gold World Series just for what this team needed right now, and that was on both sides of it. We actually have fewer position players than we've had, and so they got more at-bats. So I felt like that group was kind of at a good point to stop and shift what a lot of them needed. And then the pitching, I felt like we were in a good spot to do what we do, which is deload and then reload into the season. And your pitching staffs, your offensive line, and their health is it's going to determine whether you can have a successful season or not. So we stopped a little bit earlier just out of my own kind of intuition.
Seems like fall ball has been going on forever, though. I don't know if it's just me, but it seems like it's – I mean, you have all these intra-squad games and all that. I mean, this fall ball thing has really been extended to what it – maybe I'm completely wrong on that, but it seems like they've been going at it for a long time now.
Well, sounds like I just hope Jay has a better offensive line than Kelly had.
Yeah, I know. That scared me whenever he said that. I was like, oh, no, not the dreaded O-line.
Yeah. We follow baseball to get away from the O-line. What is he talking about?
Is he bullish on the offensive line, too?
Oh, God. Don't ever – that should be a word that no one at LSU could ever use again.
That and receipt. Yeah. No more
– There's a Andre has a great story on the on the press conference yesterday that's up on Tiger Rag right now. And Jay's got a great quote in there talking about his pitchers. And he's saying just how versatile they are. You know, he's got starters. He's got closers. He's got guys that can go in and just get three outs. And he's got lefties. He's got guys that can flip and be a reliever or be a starter. And he's got Gavin Guidry back too, which Andre's going to have a story on that in Tiger Rag in the morning. Speaking of Tiger Rag, we also got an interesting story on Lane Kiffin and how he is following in his dad's footsteps as a nomadic coach. Some very interesting quotes from Lane about his dad at his press conference yesterday. And I'm reading the tea leaves. That makes it sound like he's going to move again like his dad did. So that's on Tiger Rag right now on the website.
All right. Okay, we got to take another break. Maybe we'll get into another Jay Johnson or cut two. We got one more segment to go, so don't go away. You're listening to Tiger Rag Radio from the Super Chevy Dealer Studio.
I'm Richard Fontenot, president of the Louisiana Farm Bureau Federation. My brother and I grow rice, soybeans, and raise crawfish on our farm in Evangeline Parish. For a fourth-generation farmer like myself, Louisiana Farm Bureau is as much a part of my life as checking traps or harvesting rice. Our organization is more than 145,000 members strong, and we've been around for more than 100 years. The Louisiana Farm Bureau spans generations, and we want you to join our family.
Visit lafarmbureau.org, the Louisiana Farm Bureau Federation, the voice of Louisiana agriculture.
Cummins is known for their commitment to quality, performance, and products that are built to last. They make it their business to understand their customers' priorities and partner in their success. Cummins has the technical expertise and experience to deliver fast, high-quality repairs using genuine parts. And by calling 1-800-Cummins, you have access to one of the largest and most capable sales, service, and support organizations in the industry 24/7. For more information on Cummins products, service, or support, call 1-800-Cummins.
Chevy trucks have you covered when the road takes you from smooth sailing to Chevy Colorado will eat up some of the toughest terrains with 5 available drive modes. And Silverado and Silverado HD have the muscle to take you out for some serious with multiple engine options and impressive towing. While Silverado EV is the perfect combo of performance and capability.
Nice.
Making it a snap to hitch up this electric truck and hit the road. Wherever the road leads, Chevy trucks are right there with you. See your super Chevy dealers today.
When the power goes out, your life is disrupted. Heat, air conditioning, refrigeration, phones, all gone. Be prepared for the next outage with a Generac home standby generator. After sensing a power outage, a Generac generator automatically restores your home's power, whether you're home or away. Power your life with a Generac home standby generator.
Go online to BoudreausElectrical.com for information about Generac standby generators.
We now return to Tiger Rag Radio, live from Super Chevy Dealers Studio.
All right, last segment of the show. Andre, you got a couple more sound bites here with Jay before we head out for the night?
I could probably just play the first one because I don't know if we're going to have time for both. But the second one is about Cade Aaron Beattie being the best player in fall ball. So that's what Jay said today. That's sophomore catcher Cade Aaron Beattie. Give me 1 second.
You just need time. I thought Cade probably was the best player on the team for the fall. No question about that. Was the quality at bat champion. Almost over like 650, which against our pitching staff is a pretty good number. Caught through well, managed the pitching staff, did a great job.
No, he really improved as the season went along last year and really became, a significant part of that team towards the end of the year. Looking forward to seeing what he can do his sophomore season. He's been
mashing the ball in all of fall, and he's definitely, just looking from the stats, he's been one of the best hitters.
Would you say that Jay's bullish on this team?
You know what? I'd actually take his word for it, though.
Well, we need football season to end. Can't end soon enough. That were my thoughts as I watched that 13-10 slugfest class.
I can sit.
If you think
Saturday.
That was boring, wait till you see this Saturday.
Oh, man.
Well, at least one of the teams will be good, though.
Yeah, but
in this
their offense sucks as bad as LSU's does.
I can send.
That's a big statement now.
I might be able to send the listeners off with some interesting information that I've learned from one of my close Ole Miss sources that swears on this. They said that Lane Kiffin's Bentley got towed today on campus.
Uh-oh. Wow.
That sounds like.
That might be the last straw.
Lashing out.
Who do these Ole Miss people think they are, man?
My problem is that Lane Kiffin drives a Bentley. It's like, I don't like that,
It's a cool car.
I want him to drive a four-wheel drive lifted.
You want him the F-150?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What decade are you from?
Well, I can tell you, Coach O wasn't driving it. The Audi hatchback that Brian Kelly was driving.
Well, what do you guys think? He brings up Coach O. How quick does Coach O join the staff?
I mean, it's wide open for him, right? It's all up to Lane.
Well, yeah, exactly. And then people need to remember that. Lane will be hiring the coaches, okay? And I don't know if he's going to keep a lot of coaches.
Not Scott Woodward.
No, Scott Woodward not Verge. And I think at the most two of this staff will stay, maybe just one.
Who would that be? Who would be the one? Frank?
I'm not sure.
I think Corey Raymond better be one.
Corey Raymond would be a good one. Frank would be a good one. But as we said, Frank's doing a good job holding the recruiting class together. Yeah. So that would be good. And Corey would be an excellent one as well.
All right, guys, thanks a lot. Should be an interesting weekend and an early part of next week. For Glenn, Todd, Andre, I'm Jeff Palermo. This has been Tiger Rag Radio. Thanks for listening.
Tiger Rag is everywhere. Online at TigerRag.com. Like us on Facebook at Facebook.com/TigerRag Magazine. Or follow us on Twitter at Tiger_Rag.